Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Two of the stars of that show, Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore, chief economist of FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, which is such a fabulous product. Welcome back, kids. So Joe Biden's on an apology tour. He's terribly sorry. He didn't know about inflation until just recently. Janet Yellen goes out there and makes the same apology in what looked like a hostage video. If you look at the CNN thing, she's just, oh, no, I was wrong. I'm so sorry I was wrong. And Biden writes an op-ed piece in the Journal about inflation, and he talks about it more yesterday. And his basic message is, I'm sorry, now we're going to deal with inflation. And I want America to understand the root cause of inflation. Hold on. Hold your breath. The root cause is Vladimir Putin. That's what I heard, Liz. Vladimir Putin is the cause of American inflation. And by the way, the gasoline price is now officially doubled. You buy it?
Of course not. just because the Democratic frog chorus is chirping from their lily pads, that's Putin's price hike. No, I do not buy it. Look, I mean, here's Biden's problem. I mean, this isn't just the three of us. An increasing number of people look back at that American Rescue Plan, $1.9 trillion, and know that that just pushed too much money into the economy when we still had a shortage of goods. It made too many people sit on the sidelines, creating a labor shortage, and that is when inflation began to really take off. How can Biden come out or Yellen and say that's the issue, too much spending, when their solution is more spending? Because even now, that's what they want to do. It's all going to be better because we're going to spend more money on child care and all these other benefits, and that's going to make it better. They're in a box, and they have absolutely no idea how to climb out.
You know, you're right that if you look at that op-ed carefully, I mean, he puts the burden on the Fed. I'll get to that in a minute. But he also makes a pitch for some kind of build back better, more social spending subsidies. You're absolutely right about that. But look, it doesn't matter because Putin is the problem. Steve Moore, in addition to Putin, everybody seems to be walking out of the White House. 21 blacks walked out. I just read someplace the communications department people are walking out. And basically one of the messages that President Biden is giving us is, you know, besides Putin, he hasn't communicated his policies correctly enough. And his own staff keeps walking back what he says. So is it a communications problem? Is it a messaging problem? Or, I don't know, maybe it's a woke progressive socialist problem. What do you think?
Well, I think the latter. And in fact, that's just what I was going to say, is that we've had now a 15-month experiment in modern monetary theory. You know, that's the idea that you can just spend, and borrow forever. And it was a kind of crackpot idea that a bunch of second-rate economists came up with a few years ago. And then, lo and behold, Joe Biden and his team took it seriously. And then, you had the progressive policies of higher taxes and more spending, and then they add to that this green energy lunacy, and it's been a witch's brew of unintended consequences. Although a lot of people, always ask me, do you think this is unintentional or intentional, the way they've destroyed our economy? I do think it's unintentional. I wanted to make one other quick point. You're quite right about the piece that Biden had in the Wall Street Journal, where his three solutions to higher inflation were, one, more green energy subsidies, two, build back better. And the third, which is one I'm most worried about now, Larry, is price controls. Price controls. We're back in the 70s, If it weren't for those, it's not just Putin, by the way. It's those meat packers. It's the chicken farmers. It's the bad oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies. If we just put price controls on them, we could have gas lines. And I remember, by the way, when I was like 12 years old and my parents, and when I grew up in Chicago, they'd pack us into the old station wagon. We'd get up at 6:30 in the morning and we'd be seventh in line to get gasoline. Mm. Those were the good old days. So, but one other quick thing. What about these 20 Nobel Prize economists? How many were there? How about that? I mean, people wonder why we don't always, quote, trust their science, quote. There were at least 30 prominent economists, many of them who had won Nobel Prizes, who said, don't worry about inflation. And they had it completely wrong.
You know, you got to take the Nobel Prize winners in economics and the Pulitzer Prize winners in newspapering who touted the Russian collusion argument for several years.
Exactly.
I mean, Pulitzer Prizes and Nobel Prizes could be the death of this country, for God's sakes. Liz Peek, the president, he's out yesterday in that bizarre press conference when he wasn't talking about Elon Musk. I want to get to that in a minute. He says basically there's nothing we can do. Gasoline prices are high, and there's nothing we can do. That was his mantra. Now, I mean, really? There's nothing we can do?
Again, he has put himself in a box, and I think it is so clear that even as obviously we are in a place right now where the entire green agenda can go forward but has to be put second place behind providing the fossil fuels that Americans and indeed the entire world needs right now, he cannot bring himself to do that. So it's better just to pretend that the only sources of oil in the world are Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, and Russia than to imagine that, oh, yes, just recently America was the number one producer of oil and natural gas. How incredibly stupid is this? Because, boy, there is one thing that makes headlines day after day after day, and that's the price of gasoline. And, Larry, what I'm concerned about, and I think what they're trying to get out ahead of, perhaps with this humiliating trek to Saudi Arabia, is that China, as China comes back to life, which it looks as though that could happen in the next few months, the demand for oil is going to go through the roof. As it, at the same time that the EU is actually beginning to cut back on Russian oil exports, which up till now really haven't been affected very much, this, I think, will bite. I think there's just not enough capacity in Asia to buy all the Russian oil that Europe won't buy. So there's Russia's going to be in a pickle. There's going to be less production out of Russia, and also demand's going to start to increase. So this gasoline price thing really could go, you know, much higher, and the administration has absolutely no idea what to do.
Well, Jamie Dimon,
once again, you're a little behind the curve because you don't understand that Pete Buttigieg and Jennifer Granholm are telling us that everyone is going to have an electric car.
I know.
This gets to the absolute idiocy of these people. I mean, 5 to 6% of the cars on the road are electric vehicles. So that means, if my math is right, 94% of us still, you know, get our fuel at the pump. And yet they keep talking. I mean, I think Biden mentioned electric cars again yesterday.
He did.
Yeah, maybe by 2035, half of us will have electric cars. But it just gets to the point that they seem somewhat deranged and completely out of touch with the major kind of concerns of Americans. And I want to make one other quick point. I believe that it was Nixon, Ford, and Carter all lost their – well, Ford and Carter lost their elections. Nixon was impeached because the economy stunk and because you had high inflation. And people hate inflation. They hate gas prices like this. So I think Brett Biden and the Democrats are in great peril. And they're ignoring any steps to look. If I were Biden, I'd just say, okay, you know what? We can put a pause. Let's put a pause on the green energy stuff for now. And
exactly.
Let's just drill, drill, drill.
Exactly. And may I just also add, when you have Ro Khanna, a Democrat from California, coming out with a piece, I think you had a whole piece saying, here's what actually Biden should do about inflation, they are scrambling. I think Democrats are scared to death. They know this is just as bad as you say, Steve.
You know, price control is going to be a bigger and bigger threat. And you have all these lefties running antitrust, this crazy woman at the Federal Trade Commission. You've got the Justice Department antitrust. They're talking about, Steve Moore, to your point, you know, on drugs, the Medicare will determine all drug prices. That's a precursor. They're going to try to take that even further for some of these other industries. These are, by the way, 1970s-style solutions, right? Nixon wanted price controls. Ford kept most of them. Carter kept most of them. It wasn't until 10 years later that Reagan stopped them. That will make the problem worse, won't it?
Sure it will. And by the way, I had a little discussion with Lena Khan, who's the new FTC commissioner. She thinks the Kudlow Show is a monopoly. Because your ratings are too high, Larry. Break up Larry Kudlow.
Yes, right.
By the way, congratulations. I meant to say that. Your ratings are off the charts, so congratulations. Number one business show in America. That's incredible.
Well, you two are big factors in that, by the way, so I thank you while we're on this topic. You two are both stars.
But I'm only half joking about Lena Khan. I mean, she thinks every store on every street corner is a monopoly, and they just want to, and it's the ultimate form of regulation. The only thing I'd correct you on a little bit is a lot of Republicans are infatuated with this too, you know, break up the companies because they're too powerful.
I want to talk about that. Let's take a break because you've been campaigning on this. You've got Josh Hawley and a group of them that want the government to break up the technology companies, which really is a progressive policy. Steve Moore, Josh Hawley and some Republican senators are going in with, Amy Klobuchar and some Democratic senators to tear apart our technology companies. What is up with that?
So it's, interesting. I had do you remember Chris Cox, Larry?
Yeah.
He was a congressman from California. I think he was the
SEC.
He was the head of the SEC at one point.
Yep.
And, he was reminding me, I had a long talk with him this week, and he was the guy who wrote the first kind of internet laws back in 1994, 95, when nobody even knew what the internet was. And the whole idea behind his bill was to make the internet tax-free, regulation-free, and lawsuit-free. Mm. And, you look back and you have to say that was probably one of the most successful laws in the history of the country because it launched the trillions and trillions of dollars of wealth creation from these incredible companies like Google and Apple and the line. And so what's going on now is that because these companies have been so successful, and by the way, they're not quite as successful as they were 6 months ago, right? I mean, the big five have lost, $1 trillion in market cap. I've always believed that the market is the best way to discipline companies. But there is a big move to break up these companies, and it's coming from both sides of the aisles. And, we're treating these companies like Google and Apple and Amazon. And by the way, I don't like their politics, Larry. Let me say that. I don't like their politics. I don't like Twitter's politics. I don't like Facebook's politics. But, you go back to the origins of this antitrust stuff. John D. Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, Henry Ford. These were people that built our country. Mm. John D. Rockefeller was not a villain. Mm. He built our country. And this is the next generation. So I hate this stuff. I hope Republicans get away with it, away from it.
Liz, you've got these Republican senators who have abandoned the idea of consumer impact and are just kind of going after the tech companies because of their politics. Now, in a sense, once again, Elon Musk is a hero because from the marketplace and investment, he's just going to take over Twitter. He's moving along nicely, and he's going to provide free speech. Now, that could launch a revolution with these other companies, too. But, Liz, why would you want government – this is the part that really bothers me – government in charge of breaking up companies? Markets, yes. Governments, really?
Well, I think Steve's right. It comes down to politics. I think that people like Josh Hawley are so offended by the political influence of companies like Google and Apple and so forth – that they are willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And this is not about economic power, I don't think. These companies have enormous economic power. And I do think they need to have stricter guidelines in terms of protecting privacy. We know that they haven't really abided by any kind of rules of the road on this. And let's face it, Europe is way ahead of us in making demands about how your personal information should be treated, stored, et cetera. And these companies have over and over again violated those rules. We also know that these companies are providing, particularly Facebook, I think, are injurious to a lot of people. You know, teenage girls, it's pretty well known, are really harmed by their devotion to being online. I don't know really how that can be handled, because that is a choice of the parents and the children that get involved in these networks. But I do think these senators are not interested in the economic ramifications or sort of economic justification. I think they want to hurt the herders, and they view those companies as exactly that.
Steve Moore, let me switch gears. Dave McCormick has conceded the Senate race in Pennsylvania to Emmett Oz. Can Oz win? He's going to run against the Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, who I think is a big lefty. Can we keep that seat in Pennsylvania? Can Oz do it? Is Oz a supply-sider? I mean, what is he?
Well, first of all, he is going to win that race. He is going to win. And congratulations, by the way, to Dave McCormick. I know he's a friend of yours. I met him once or twice. I mean, he ran a race with great class, and he showed a lot of class. I think he lost by, 1,000 votes out of, I don't know how many.
One and a half million.
So it was a very, very narrow loss. But I wish Donald Trump had done the same thing. I think the country would be better shape. I think Dr. Oz is a good candidate. Now, I don't know. You asked me about his economics. I don't know. You and I and Art Laffer and Steve Forbes and Liz have to sit down with him and make sure he's sound on these things. But he's a good candidate, and I think he'll do well. I'd love Liz's ideas. But I think he appeals to the suburban women, which is a big thing, you know, because Trump lost Pennsylvania because of the suburban women who abandoned him. But I think he's non-threatening. I think he's got his head on his shoulders. He probably needs a little coaching on the economy.
I think that's right. I actually had dinner with him and had a chance to talk to him about things that are important to all of us. And look, first of all, he is a very smart, very capable guy. He was not just a TV personality. He was also a really successful eminent surgeon, doctor before he became involved in TV. And as to winnability and so forth, one of the reasons I think a lot of people I know backed him is that he has tremendous approval amongst black voters because of his long-term association with Oprah Winfrey. In fact, Oprah, I think, offered to help his campaign, and he rightly said no because he was afraid it would probably hurt her and their friends. So I think, in places like Philadelphia, that's going to be important for him. As to his economics, look, I think like a lot of people who come from the private sector, he does not have well-formed political views on a lot of issues. And I think the economy, I think his instincts are good. To your point, Steve, I think some coaching is probably a good idea on a number of things, but I think he can win this race.
Well, with Trump, I mean, I think where you go on this, Steve, with Trump being his big backer and perhaps decisively in this campaign, he should go, campaign on making the Trump tax cuts permanent and show the success of the tax cuts. I mean, particularly the corporate tax cuts. And I think Oz is fundamentally a private sector kind of guy who would promote private sector investment. So I would start there, make the Trump tax cuts permanent. And look, in Pennsylvania, which successfully handled the fracking revolution, unlike New York, for example, Oz should be to deregulate energy, deregulate business, deregulate industry. And I think he'll carry the day with that. I think that's where you go with him, Steve.
You raised a really good point, by the way, on the energy issue, because, Pennsylvania really was one of the biggest beneficiary states of the shale revolution. Mm-hmm. That Marcellus shale. By the way, when is New York going to start drilling? My God, the Pennsylvanians took all the, keep drilling right on that border to take all the, they're going down and underneath New York and taking their own pulling gas.
They're
out,
horizontally drilling under New York State.
That's funny. One of the issues in Pennsylvania is that this Governor Wolf, he actually wants to get the Pennsylvania into this lunatic, it's called the regional greenhouse gas initiative, which is just a big carbon tax. And I wrote a column on this. Wait a minute. Pennsylvania is like the one of the biggest sources of energy in our country right now. Why would they slip their wrists and join this stupid pact with country, with states like New York and Connecticut, New Jersey and Rhode Island? And so I think that Oz would be very smart, because I know you're this station reaches into Pennsylvania.
These
Democrats are all in on this stuff, and it'll destroy a lot of jobs in that state.
Liz, are you still optimistic about the cavalry coming in November?
Yes. I think the primaries have shown even more data points on the fact that Republican energy is up, their enthusiasm, their turnout, all the things that you want to see. There are tens of thousands of people re-registering as Republicans in some of these states. Now, mind you, in some states, that's because they want to mess up the Republican primaries. Democrats have a nice, nasty habit of doing that. But I think there's a lot of indications that things are going the right way. And I hate to say that a lot of it is because the nation is going the wrong way. When 75% or whatever the number is now says the country's on the wrong track, they want to change. They don't want to continue on that wrong track. And I think you're going to see those people come out and vote in November. I sure as heck hope so, Larry, because things are not getting better. I think they're getting worse on so many fronts. And it's policy. It is not. I was offended by Janet Yellen's non-apology, because she basically kind of said, well, you know, lightning struck, and what do you know? We have inflation. No, that's not appropriate.
Immaculate.
Immaculate
conception.
Right.
Yeah, that's where it came from. Immaculate, you know? Immaculate inflation.
I may have to steal that, Larry.
All right. It's all yours. We got to jump. Liz Peek, thank you ever so much. Steve Moore, thank you ever so much.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.